are now listening to No Dumb Idea.
All right, everyone. Welcome to No Dumb Idea. We're a pop culture podcast that does silly games, trivia, all that fun stuff. I'm one of your hosts, Gibbledang. Who am I joined by? Who's my sinister three?
And I'm Dala. Gym leader Nate.
Ooh. Oh. I went because you were drinking, so I was like...
Yeah, I managed to swallow fast, but I am gym leader Nate. King of swallowing fast.
You king of swallowing... I'm Dala, the king of interrupting people.
Hell yeah. Well, yep. I think all of us are kind of the king of that.
We're all savants in our own way.
Yeah. I'm the king of queens.
All right, everybody, shut up. It's Craven time. Craven's coming out. Craven, everyone was craving it, so Sony said, hey, let's make it. And I think by the time this has come out, we'll probably have a review out. So go ahead and check that one out, that episode. That'll be fun.
I don't know about that. We'll see, hopefully.
The Sony Spider-Man spinoff universe, I think titled Spum. I think they self-titled it the Spum.
Mm-hmm.
The Sony Pictures universe of Marvel characters. Yeah, you know, we've already got some installments. Great stuff like Madam Web, the Venom trilogy, Morbius. You know, things that people just, they want, you know? Now we're getting Kraven. But it made me look back and look at the, I guess, the history of all these Sony Spider-Man spinoffs, you know, why they're doing them, when they kind of started having this bright idea. And yeah, I wanted to go over kind of the history of it all. Are you guys ready? You guys sitting down?
Yeah, I'm standing, but honestly, that's better.
And I'm crawling.
How's that?
I can brace myself.
Yeah. I was asking the listeners.
Oh, nobody cares about them.
I know you guys. I know you guys are ready.
Yeah, listeners, sit down. Sit your butts down because you're craving this.
To go all the way back, Marvel Comics was going bankrupt in like the 90s, and they had to sell off a bunch of different property rights to their characters, like for film and TV rights. And the biggest winner that came out on top was Sony when they got Spider-Man, as well as some other characters. So far, I think that's the only studio that has another Marvel character. I think every other Marvel character has reverted back to Marvel.
Is Hulk still Universal? Yeah. Or he's reverted?
Yeah. Okay. And so, yeah. And so, you know, that's like the origin of it. So the reason for all these spinoffs is the fact that they keep being made so that they could hold on to the rights for Spider-Man. They have to make a Spider-Man property or something using the Spider-Man IP every certain amount of years so that they don't lose the rights. Easy as that. And, you know, I'm sure they make a good profit. I mean, Venom made billions.
Shocking.
And so, you know, going up to 2014, I remember this, the interview starring Seth Rogen and James Franco. Have you guys seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, years ago when it was, like, new, yeah.
I was asking the audience. I know you guys seen that one.
Then don't pause. Keep talking.
You gotta pause for the audience. So they can respond.
Pause. Yeah, are you waiting for them to answer?
It's like Dora.
Gibbledang, do you not know that they can't talk back to us? Is this the first time you're realizing that?
Well, I think they're waiting for them to like respond via like email or you know, in the comments section. True. Just or like yes Gibbledang's or like, no.
What do you mean? I hear their voices in my head the whole time. Yeah.
I do love that idea. Go to YouTube and it's just like all the comments are no or yes. Like just no, no, yes, yes, no, no.
Timestamp, yeah. No. Timestamp, yes.
At least they're timestamping it then. Shit.
There we go. Yeah. I'll know. I know our fans. I know what they want. So the interview came out and obviously it dealt with, you know, it was a very touchy political satire where the leader of North Korea got assassinated. And Seth Rogen and James Franco helped, I guess, see that out. And so someone from North Korea hacked Sony's database and emails, revealing a bunch of leaks for different projects as, you know, basically doxing Sony. I remember when this was happening, it revealed that, you know, this was right after, I believe, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I think The Amazing Spider-Man 2 just came out, and I think the second Avengers movie had just come out. So it's 2014, you know, Marvel's just starting off, kicking out. The emails showed that Kevin Feige, right off the bat, knew that Sony was fucking up all of their IPs and Spider-Man franchise and was just like, hey, let's try to buy it back. You know, like, hey, can we buy it back? No. Sony said no. They offered $2 billion, but I think Marvel was like, fuck that. And so that's when eventually they worked out that deal between kind of sharing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But the plan before that, right before they decided to do a whole reboot in the MCU, Andrew Garfield was going to be in Civil War. They were going to like merge over the two universes or just say that they existed in like the same one the entire time. It, like, Sony was really hedging its bets. Let's see. Let me...
I will say, MCU 35-year-old Spider-Man would have been weird. Definitely would have been...
At this point, it would have been refreshing.
Teenage Peter Parker with full-on 5 o'clock shadow was already startling in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Yeah. So I feel like continuing with that, with him just getting older, would have been like, this is getting... they're going to have to start CGIing his face like they did with Captain America's body.
I'm trying... I'm like, I don't know if I would... If I, Andrew Garfield, like... If, like, 2 led into... Like, Amazing Spider-Man 2 led into, like, Civil War with, like, Garfield joining, I'd be kind of like... I don't know if I'd be as... I mean, I'd be stoked because it's still Spider-Man in the freaking movies, but...
Right.
I think I'd be kind of just also like... I don't know if I want this dumb Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2 attached to this, like, universe. At the time, at least, it was doing hot, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. That's the thing for me is that also, like... Vibe-wise, Spider-Man has always been a weird puzzle piece to the Avengers slash, like, general MCU thing. Because the way they built the MCU, it always seemed like there just wasn't a good place for Spider-Man to come in. And then, in the end, they were just like, have Tony find him. And it's like, surprise, he's there.
I think the way they did it was the... Well, okay. I think that works because, one, we don't need an origin movie where he gets bit by the spider and then we see his Uncle Ben die.
We've seen it twice already.
And I'm like, I think I like that it's like... Again, I like that he's almost like a legacy character in the sense that he's like Iron Man Jr. in that, like, in those movies, kind of.
It's like, any character who is they've spent the last, like, 20 or, like, 15 years making movies of, they didn't bother with an origin for their MCU. Mm-hmm. Like, the Hulk, we've made three Hulk movies have come out, and
the old show. We're good.
Yeah, everyone knows who Hulk is. We're fine. Yeah. Honestly, it's still always impressive that, like, the Iron Man origin movie kind of kicked all of this off. It's still always so interesting to think about.
Yeah.
So the list here: proposed rollout of future films, Amazing Spider-Man, Kraven. It's going to be a Kraven origin movie. This was in 2016. 2017, a Sinister Six movie. They've really wanted to make this happen. There's rumors every other week that this is back on board, that this is going to be made again. Mm-hmm. And even at the end of Morbius, there was a fucking tease of it. We're like, well, me and you should get a bunch of good guys, whatever. Spider-Man 2099 in the second half of 2017. It's a time-traveling movie where he's got to go back in time and team up with modern-day Spider-Man, a.k.a. Andrew Garfield, whatever. Okay. Amazing Spider-Man Venom, which was going to be in 2018. Yeah, it would have just been a Venom origin story. And then after that, in 2018, there would have been a Black Cat movie, which I think they announced... I remember that being announced, and then they canceled that, and they announced Silver and Black, which was a Silver Sable and Black Cat movie. And then I think they canceled that to announce that both of them were getting a solo movie again. And then that was like 4 years ago, and nothing's happened.
Amazing.
Damn, I need those.
The Carnage movie, which most likely would have been Emma Stone as Carnage. The Jackal movie, Spider-Man 2099 Part 2. Sinister Six Part 2. The Amazing Spider-Man 4 Part 1. The Amazing Spider-Man 4 Part 2. Spider-Man 4, which would have been a sequel to Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire. The Amazing Spider-Man and Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man versus Spider-Man, which would have been Andrew Garfield versus Tobey Maguire. And then some other ones that aren't on the list are the
Ant-Man?
Auntie?
Yeah.
Well, I was asking the viewers.
I'm also just comedy.
Yeah, mine is a question mark.
Yeah.
The Aunt May movie where she would have been a spy in the 60s, 70s? 60s? 70s? 60s?
The 1860s?
The 1860s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why she's so damn old.
Yeah. Mm.
The Aunt May origin prequel movie. The Disco Dazzler movie with Childish Gambino. That might have been...
Is that Spider-Man, though? I thought Dazzler
probably can't.
An X-Men.
No, like what? Disco. It's like Disco something. I think it's Disco Dazzler. He's a black and he's a black man, but he's got like a purple costume. He's got like an electric guitar or something that he uses for like music or some shit. I think it's Disco Dazzler.
Hypno Hustler.
Yeah. See?
Hypno Hustler.
Mm-hmm. Hypno Hustler. Yeah. That's who
oh
it was.
Oh my god, what a name.
The Disco Dazzler. God, I keep saying it. The Hypno Hustler. Jesus fucking
Christ. You don't
even
need us to interrupt. You're interrupting yourself.
Hypno Hustler. It is you have to like slow down for that one because that's a twister.
Well, I'm not gonna. We got to keep this list going. Hypno Hustler, you know, that was, I think, announced. I say announced in like quotation marks.
Leaked.
I don't even know. They announce these projects every other week and then nothing happens. So fucking who knows? Yeah, Hypno Hustler. 4 years ago, nothing since then. Same thing with the other Childish Gambino project, fucking Lando.
Yeah.
Like, this dude just keeps announcing that he's working on things, but, you know. Damn, just, poor guy. That's it. After that, fuck. This one just happened too. El Muerto.
Oh, yeah.
El Muerto was announced 2 or 3 years ago with Bad Bunny. It was stunt casting. They were like, it was actually announced with Craven, I think. And everybody was like, what the fuck? Why the fuck is this, like,
it's a character that's had thing. Four issues, like, ever appeared in, like, and they're all, like, connected. Those four.
I'm pretty sure, like, most of these announcements are just, like, stunts so that they can keep investors. We're like, we need to show investors we're having ideas, so we're going to tell them we're planning all these movies, and then we're going to make none of them.
I mean, yeah. I'll take a Hypno Hustler movie, though, honestly. Like, we got Kraven and Morbius, and even Madame Web for it's like, I'm fucking down.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like, I don't know. If Madame Web, I would have been more down for Madame Web if it was vaguely more reminiscent of the actual, like, specifically if it was more reminiscent of actually giving us time to see her as Madame Web.
Yeah.
And not an origin. I thought it would have been a good character. Ooh, what if they had done Madame Web backwards, Memento style?
That'd be something.
They're from the future. Yeah. She saw the future. Yeah. Oh.
It'd be something at least. But anyways, give me the rest of that list. I'm curious.
Well, funny enough, with the Bad Bunny El Muerto, I think he gave up on that. He was I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, actually, I think it was either right before.
I think it was after Morbius came out.
Yeah.
It was after Morbius, but I think it was right before Madame Web.
Because
I think he saw it coming from a mile away.
Yeah, it's like Morbius had its reception, and then Madame Web was starting to preview and looking terrible, and he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to step away, and I'm not going to be doing a Sony movie, because this will ruin my career.
Yeah.
There's also so much, like, there's so many leaks and so many like different rumors of these spinoffs where it's like, okay, there's a Chameleon spinoff in the works, but there's also a Rhino spinoff in the works, but maybe there's also a Chameleon and that's one movie. Maybe it's one movie now, like the other fucking Silver and Black shit.
It sounds it sounds like producers just on cocaine, like, it's coming to me, like, it's a Mysterio movie, but then like, but then the Lizard comes, you know, it's like, just like freestyling almost.
It's like one of those things where there's a boardroom of incredibly detached producers who all think it's an amazing idea. They push it to announcement, and then it announces. They see the public outcry of being like, "This is dog shit," and they're like, "Oh, I think we misread the room there," and then just repeat.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde announced she was making a Spider-Woman movie 5 years ago. Nothing happened from that. And that's actually having, like, I'm going to be the director. And it's like, what the fuck is, what else has happened here?
Yeah. And now Star Wars is turning into that, too, funny enough. Now Star Wars has turned into the, Oh, we're making this movie. Oh, it got canceled. Then we're making this movie. Oh, the writers dropped out. Oh, we're going to make this movie. Oh, the director dropped out.
We fired the director.
Yeah, we fired the director.
They never drop out, dude. They always get fired. Well, no, I swear to God.
What I think it is every single time is basically people come into Star Wars and they're like, hey, I think for Star Wars we need to revitalize it, and so I have something new. And they're like, nope, we have the game plan. Do the same things over and over or you're fired. So get out, next person, and they start over.
As it should be.
Yeah, nothing should ever change ever, actually.
Yeah, yeah, keep it all the same.
I think that's about the end of the list. You know, it was very broad. I mean, shit, I could go into depth about, you know, what the stories were. You know, they wanted to bring back Emma Stone as Carnage, which happened in the comics. Mm-hmm. They wanted Spider-Man Gormage to join the Sinister Six and nice fight dinosaurs on an island. Ideas for Danny McBride or Jonah Hill as Sandman.
Okay. Danny McBride as Sandman. I feel like he would try to be serious, and I would laugh anyways. Like,
yeah. Not even. I'm just imagining Eastbound and Down. You mean I have to fight a fucking Spider-Man guy?
What the fuck? He got web.
Jeez, I'll be right back, but I'm listening.
I mean, not only that, but the Aunt May origin story. That's insane.
That one's crazy.
To really, like, think that, like, yeah, this is going to be good. But, you know, it's Sony. They're going to be making bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be making movies with Spider-Man. So, here at No Dumb Idea, I figured, why don't we try to pull a Sony? And why don't we try to make a bad Spider-Man spin-off movie that no one wants to see?
You mean a great Spider-Man movie that that everyone's going to want to see. Okay.
Oh, God, cocaine. Oh,
the Coke Mountain.
Chills me out so much. Dala, what do you have to say about this?
Mm-hmm. It's coming to me. Mm-hmm. It's coming to me. With Mysterio and, like, the lizard comes in.
That's good timing. Now I gotta keep in that you went to go pee for that joke to work.
Edit in a pee sound over the
yeah, just in the background, just the sound of piss going into the toilet.
But add reverb though too, so it's like in the distance.
Nice and far away.
But did you have a premise?
I am down, yes. I have brought cocaine. That's actually where I really went. So we can
Yeah. Oh, but Nate brought cocaine.
I brought it for all of us. We're all in the
same
room.
I brought the bananas. It's like everybody shows up with like the coffee or like liquor, and it's like, all right, I brought the liquor. You brought cocaine too. Everybody else holds up liquor too. Like, one brought the cocaine.
Yeah, damn it.
Or it's like one guy brought liquor, everyone else brought cups. Ooh.
Ooh.
Smart guy.
That'd be
smart,
worse, smart though. That'd be the even worse.
I can't put my cocaine in these cups.
Yeah, oh, there we go.
You can. I saw a movie where they put cocaine in a Coke can and had a straw in it and sniffed through the straw, so we're good.
I was about to say, I just picture, like, loose cocaine in a cup and you're, like, tipping it to drink, but yeah, you're, like, tipping it at your nostril.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
But yeah, would you like to start off Gibbledang with, I don't know if you had, or should we, how should we do this?
So, if it's going to be, so the main points are, it's got to be a Spider-Man adjacent character. Maybe a character that appeared in one panel, or maybe, shit, maybe it was a character that could have been referenced now.
Yeah.
Just in passing that we never see. You know, Spider-Man adjacent character, it's got to tease Spider-Man. Either directly, or very stupidly indirectly, like the time in Venom and Carnage when Carnage smashed a spider on the desk when he was writing. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, don't, but that's good.
You don't?
I don't remember because I very, very rarely remember anything from that movie.
Good.
Also fair.
Good. No, that's good. You know, it doesn't have to, but the villain could basically just be an inverse of the hero, which usually they are, but you know what I mean? Like, it's, It's just, it's Red Spider-Man versus Gray Spider-Man, or it's Blue Hulk versus Red Hulk. You know,
it's
just
Venom
like
versus
like
Venom, or Venom versus Venom.
Venom versus Denim.
Denim.
Other Venom. Denim. Nice.
That's just yeah, best denim. Genist from My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
Shooting ooh. Out denim.
Oh, nice.
That's good.
That's cool.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. So I could go first. I could give an example, one that I thought of. Which, the more that I thought about it, the more that I was like, it's bad, but it just seems exactly like the type of bad that they would put out.
That they're looking for.
So I'm thinking right off the bat, who is the closest to Spider-Man without being Spider-Man? Literally. It's a question for the audience.
Spider-Woman.
Come on, audience. Answer.
Yeah, right, come on.
Mary Jane. All right, Mary Jane. Reporter
Jane.
Movie.
Okay.
Exactly.
Your porno movies that he said?
Reporter.
Oh, I heard porno movies. I was like, whoa.
Mary Jane prequel, or Mary Jane superhero movie, right? Right?
Okay.
But it's not just Mary Jane. It's Jackpot.
Okay.
Jackpot is a superhero that, when she came out, I believe she didn't have an identity at first, but she looked exactly like Mary Jane, and her catchphrase was like, you just hit the jackpot. And Mary Jane's main thing was that she would tell Spider-Man, like, face it, Tiger, you just hit the jackpot. Mm-hmm. So for years, people were thinking like, oh, that's Mary Jane. But then it ended up being like a rug pull. It was someone else. But recently in the comic books, Mary Jane became Jackpot. So now I'm thinking, the origin movie, or the you know, she's going to be in college. She's mm-hmm. going to be an investigatory journalist. Maybe she's nice. Got a friend. She's got a my bad. You were drinking.
I can only think of Zoolander now. I'm sorry. I'm just
you know, she's got a friend, Felicia Hardy, right? You know, it's very much like the, you got Mary Jane, who's cool, and Mary Jane, who's like a little bit timid and nice and much smarter, and then Felicia Hardy, who's like cool and outgoing, right? They grow up together, they go to college together. Mary Jane, being an investigatory journalist, she gets this hot scoop about like the Kingpin doing a bunch of crime and shit, right? So she goes to like his to where she thinks there's going to be this meeting or like this delivering of this like dangerous object, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when she goes, you know, she's like sneaking through, and it's like the PlayStation game, right? So we reference that. And she it turns out that the item that was being received is like, I guess, a bracelet, right? It's like a little bracelet with a bunch of powers on it, right? Okay. Because in the comic book, Jackpot has like, or at least Mary Jane's Jackpot has a like a roulette device that basically gives her a different power every time, like she. So it's like a luck based thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Mary Jane's like, oh, I gotta take this so it doesn't get in the wrong hands, right? But then when she's there, it's revealed that Felicia Hardy works for Kingpin, and she's like his bodyguard or whatever, and you know, it turns out she also has a bracelet that, like, gives her, like, luck powers or, like, you know. So you got these two different, they like got that. The same kind of powers that are luck, but it's different, you know.
Chance,
luck. Yada, 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 you know. Mary Jane's mom is like, oh, I know a boy, like, you're so busy, like, you need to unwind and go on a date. Like, I know a boy who could, like, oh, my friend has a nephew that's like, oh, mom, I don't want to hear about it. I'm too busy being Jackpot. Also, I'm afraid of spiders, too. I need to make that
very clear.
Mary Jane's going to be afraid of spiders.
Oh, God. Just, like, always question them.
That
like,
might pay off. In when we make part three of this movie, it might pay off.
Okay. We'll part three. Damn. Okay.
So Jackpot, you know, she fights crime. Kingpin's looking for the item. Kingpin sends a black cat after her. They have a fight, and then they realize, oh my God, it's you. And Jackpot ends up this is the thing. In the comic books, and I haven't read it, but I was reading on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
The bracelet, it's like a roulette thing, right? But if you spin it and you land on three skulls, you die.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of interesting.
It is, but why include that?
Yeah. Well, wait, is this like a scientific device or is this like ancient, like mystical?
I don't know, man. I don't think ancient mystical would have would be a roulette with three, like, are you asking me about, like, the comic books or in this?
Either, both, I guess. I don't know. Like, because if it's mystical, I'll excuse it as, like, a curse, like, thing. Like, that's, like, the chance. No. But if it's a science-based thing, then it's, like, why put that in?
No.
Why put that in there?
No. Yeah.
Not even a little.
It's not a fail safe. Well, I guess it is a fail safe, but it's like, but here are all these superpowers because you want to be a superhero, but
one of them might kill you. There's a
drawback.
There's a chance for a fail safe, not an actual fail safe.
So Jackpot, you know, at the end of the movie, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a life or death thing where it's whatchamacallit. This is as far as I've gotten. Sure. This is as far as I've gotten.
This sounds about as far as they've thought through all those other things, too.
Well, yeah, which is why I was adequately prepared.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Probably more prepared, so, really.
Yeah,
I'm imagining Jackpot is fighting Kingpin and mm-hmm. and Black Cat at the same time, right? But then Jackpot gives... She's like, oh my God, it's you. You're my best friend. I'm going to be selfless. I'm going to give you the bracelet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she gives Black Cat the bracelet. But Black Cat, being a double crosser, you know, she had her own goals. She puts on the bracelet. She's like, all right, I'm out of here. I got two bracelets now. Fuck that.
I'm done.
And then they knock out Kingpin, I guess. Yeah. They beat Kingpin.
With the two bracelets, can there be that, like, since she has the luck, it improves.
This is what I'm getting. This is what I'm building. Okay. Black Cat's like, all right, I'm out of here. And then she presses the button, but it's the three skulls. Mm-hmm. And she, like, she dies. And Mary Jane's like, no, I can't. Like, my this friend. Sucks. I just lost mm-hmm. my friend. And, but because she's wearing two bracelets,
mm-hmm.
it turns out that the button got jammed or something.
That's not where I was going, but all right.
The other bracelet saves her. Like,
yeah. The other bracelet saves her. But Mary Jane, she's like, I'm giving up this life of crime. I hate mm-hmm. spiders. Black Cat was my best friend, but now she died. Yeah. She was my best friend. Now she's died, and she's dead and gone, and it sucks, and I'm so lonely. You know what, Aunt May? I think or not Aunt May. You know what, Mom? Tell Aunt May that I think I do have time to see a boy.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, it's revealed that she goes on a blind date with Peter Parker.
Oh my gosh.
And this is how Mary Jane meets Peter Parker. And then when you make sequels from this, when you make the Spider-Man spinoff mm-hmm. from the yeah. Spider-Man spinoff from the Mary Jane prequel villain, movie.
Yeah, from the Mary Jane.
it's Black Cat comes back and it's a love triangle.
Ooh.
And Peter's like, I think I want that cat.
Yeah.
And Mary Jane's like, I don't want you to be a crime fighter because it's dangerous.
It's dangerous. See, here's the thing. I love that idea as long as we can. Here's the thing. Oh, love that idea. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just one note. We're going to need I need the last shot to be a shot of her sitting at the table waiting for her date. And then you see, like, the shot doesn't change. You just see, like, someone walk up and kind of they're like,
yeah.
block mm-hmm. the camera a little bit. And they you just back. See, like, their hand come out and be like, hi. I'm Peter, and you never even see his
Peter
face.
Parker.
Yeah, and you just see her look up and be like, "Hi." And the end?
What if to edit that a little bit? She looks up, like, "Oh, you must be Peter." So we don't even hear the voice, so we could cast.
Nice. Even better, and you don't even see a hand. That way, you don't know if this Peter has hands or if he's black or white.
Mm-hmm. True, true.
You know,
He's actually just a blur. Anyone. You just see like a blob.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's like a redacted kind of like blacked out.
Yeah, it's like
out,
edited. Like if when they were green try screen. To put
it's
Muhammad
like a green
stuff.
Screen. Yeah, oh yeah, good. It should be Muhammad.
There we go. Now, okay. Sony Universe origin story: Muhammad.
Ooh, yeah.
That's my favorite Spider-Man character.
He hates spiders too.
Yeah.
Turns out he hates spiders.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I was thinking that else. You know, maybe there'd be like a Black Cat origin movie prequel. Where she grows up and in like New York or whatever. And you see her side. you see how she has had to be raised by like all these different gangs or whatever. And then at one point, Fisk is like, I need the strongest gang member from each district. And you guys are going to have to all fight each other mm-hmm. all throughout New York. And Kat, basically, yeah, she kind of fights her way through like this. It's the Hunger Games.
Nice. Yeah. So nice. So he split New York into districts, right?
Yeah.
Gang, owned by gangs. Each one has a gang. Yeah. All these gangs own different districts. Mm-hmm. We got the Riddlers, the Jokers, and these are all references to Spider-Man things.
Yeah, yeah. Penguins.
Uh-huh.
Penguins. The Batmans.
Yeah.
But then Hell's Kitchen, it's still just Daredevil.
Yeah. Well, the Batmans are full of baseball bats, so yeah, it's fitting still.
Yeah, ooh, true. Yeah. The Batman.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's
perfect. 10 out of 10.
I think I'm happy with that.
That'll work. Nice. Yeah. I've got an idea that mm-hmm. I want to throw past you guys. I think we should save Dala for last because I think his idea is probably going to be better than mine. So.
Sure.
Or by that, I mean worse.
Watch it sucks, yeah, and you're just really setting me up. But go on.
All right, picture this. We cut to a cheer, like, we open on a cheery New York. It's almost idealistic, you know? The sun is shining, it's a wonderful day, and we're following the day-to-day life of a certain, I believe he's a designer.
Oh, I already know, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A young man named Ned Leeds.
Okay.
Yeah. And, Ned is, you know, he's been going about his life and things are pretty usual, but then all of a sudden he starts having nightmares. And he can't understand why he's having these nightmares. Coincidentally, as he starts having these nightmares, the city is fraught with fear because every time he has a nightmare, he wakes up the next day and sees a new news story about a crime that has been committed in the night. He slowly has to come to realize that he actually has an involvement in these crimes. Certain clues come to light that connect to his life, but he doesn't know really what's going on until we slowly find out that he is experiencing a Wolfman-esque story where it is implied that he, in the night, has been taking on another persona and carrying out these missions, these operations that end in many dead or wounded, and dressing as the character known as Hobgoblin. Now,
yeah.
Ned Leeds was, if people know the comics, he was originally the thought identity of the Hobgoblin, but then retroactively, he is not. Mm-hmm. And the big twist of the movie is that he is being basically brainwashed into doing these things by Roderick, the actual
Hobgoblin.
And I think a big part of this movie is going to be the inclusion of the Green Goblin. And we're going to spice it up. We're going to spice up his story right now in this telling and have the Green Goblin be almost a neutral force of chaos that opposes these things that Hobgoblin's being made to do, so he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And while...
Okay, I'm liking this.
The big twist, you know, when at the end he's like, oh, it was Roderick, but, like, he was brainwashed to be the fall guy and to be the one who is seen. So police are hunting Ned, and they're trying to mm-hmm. get to him. And the person who ends up helping him is Norman Osborn. In order to strike back at Roderick, who is slowly spreading his influence of criminal control over the underground of New York City via these terroristic acts. I'm not sure how I want to do the allusion to Spider-Man specifically.
Mm-hmm.
My thought was maybe involve J. Jonah Jameson and
mm-hmm.
like some type of like picture taking as well. Like basically the Easter egg would be like when they show pictures of people have captured of Hobgoblin,
mm-hmm.
it'll say like attributed Peter Parker.
Like that. That's kind of cool. Okay. My suggestion was gonna be Norman Osborn goes to hobgoblin. He's like, I'm somewhat of a goblin myself. And then it's like,
actually, that 100% has to be in the movie.
Okay.
Cool. So does this mean that Green Goblin existed before Hobgoblin, but also these two exist before Spider-Man?
Yes.
I like that.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's how it's supposed to be. I feel like the thing we're setting up in the villain verse is that all of the villains existed before Spider-Man.
Everything happened before Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man is the Avengers movie where he's like, oh, shit, I have to fight all these guys.
Honestly, that kind of, like, is an interesting take if you go off of, New York's full of supervillains, and some guy gets powers, so he's like, what am I going to do with these powers? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to fight all these supervillains that keep appearing in New York.
Yeah. Because... Although, you could put that in one movie. That could be one movie. That doesn't need to be five prequel villain movies.
That's not what we're here for. We're not here to make movies.
We're making money.
But unfortunately, I don't know, Nate. I think your idea actually sounded too good for something like this.
I was like,
this sounds really good.
It would be cool. Like a psychological, the first half of the movie is a psychological, am I crazy, about Ned Leeds. It's like, it'd be interesting.
I actually love that. I really like that.
It's funny. I came up with two ideas, and each idea is actually very similar to either of yours as well.
I have
one that's close to Gibbs, one that's close to Jim Leader Nate's. It's so fucking funny.
Perfect.
Stylist.
Would you like to go?
Yeah.
Is there anything?
Mine was pretty short and sweet. I feel like,
Yeah, it's good.
Mostly just a thesis statement.
Yeah. No.
I don't want to edit, but I liked it too much. I think it.
Yeah. How do we make it worse?
There has to be something that's like it has to put its foot in its mouth somehow.
Okay. Since Ned Leeds is a designer, we're gonna make him gay. And then the whole movie is going to be a with Madame Web, they were like, she needs to be detached. So they just made her straight up unlikable, absolute asshole to people. We need Ned Leeds to be a designer. So we're going to make him super flamboyant and 100% stereotypical and offensive. And...
I'm somewhat of a gay guy myself.
When he starts thinking he's turning into Hobgoblin, it's gonna be like a really shit metaphor for like him embracing his true masculinity or some shit. I feel like that would ruin it a good amount.
That would kind of beyond what I was thinking. I was just thinking like a shitty third act,
third act, we're gonna bring in the Queen Goblin storyline instead.
Queen Goblin's gonna
bring Queen Goblin back to life. We're gonna cut all the other stuff with the other Marvel villains and the reason why he did that in the comics, and it's just gonna be about taking out Roderick, the real Hobgoblin, and so he brings back Queen Goblin. Then it's just a giant goblin off in the middle of Times Square, and where you have Roderick Hobgoblin, you have Ned Hobgoblin, you have Green Goblin Osborn, and Queen Goblin all just in a giant tornado of bombs and chaos,
and it'll be right in front of a Pepsi logo.
Yes. Yeah.
And then Peter Parker will run up and be like, hey, guys, can I get a picture?
Peter Parker appears in the exact situation as Stan Lee did in Spider-Man 2, where a piece of building's about to fall on somebody, and he'll be in his street clothes and be like, watch out, and pull them out of the way. But it's actually Peter Parker.
Ooh, and then it'll be like Hobgoblin will be like, let me use my rope to save... and he'll do it, and then you'll get a close up shot of Peter Parker being like, "That was really cool,
interesting."
That rope,
wow.
That might be what I need for. Oh my god, the missing piece of my spider theme.
A rope.
Oh man, you could pack that movie with Easter eggs and be like, Green Goblin's talking to Ned Leeds, and he's like.
And he's like, I'm losing control over the underground of New York City. And on top of that, somebody just stole a bunch of my best radioactive test subjects. Like,
someone stole all my radioactive spiders. Yeah, sorry, I'm so stressed. I just, damn it. Sorry if I seem really stressed. I just lost a bunch of radioactive spiders.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm carrying things over from my day job. I shouldn't put that on you.
There we go. Perfect. Now it's perfect.
I haven't had my coffee. I'm sorry. My goblin coffee. I mean, regular coffee.
When you think about it, it is kind of crazy that the Madame Web movie was like, all right, this is Madame Web. And they're like, what's the first thing we're going to do? Throws three spider women in there.
That's how you ruin.
So it's gonna be like that, and that's why we need to throw all the goblins in.
You're good.
Also, Black Cat in my movie, played by Sydney Sweeney. doesn't matter that she was already in Madame Web.
The others or whoever.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care who directs it. I don't care who else is in the movie.
What was that thing we found out that was super disappointing? Did she vote for Trump or something?
Oh, I think she might.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I think she might have.
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. Wait, hold on. I'll look that up again because I was like.
I think she's got two good reasons why, but we can move on.
Boo.
13 reasons why.
Bza.
Nice. So I'm just going to start, and I'm just going to start kind of going, because I kind of wrote like the plot synopsis. You know, I just like to do the skeleton of the story first, Mr. Producer. So we're just going to start off with my, you know, movie. We're going to start off in an asylum. Like I forget what the asylum is in the Spider-Man world. Do you remember? Whatever. It'll be that famous asylum where Carnage is and all that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we start off, we see a group of D-list villains just sitting in a therapy group. We got, you know, Leapfrog. Kangaroo and Typeface. So we got those three, and then they're also they're sitting with Dr. I'm gonna name her Dr. Lorena Dodson, as a little nod. But so there's the four of them, you know, they're just doing therapy. And like, you know, this is like part of their normal routine. And so, you know, Dr. Dodson is, you know, she's working with them, and all the super villains are like, oh, like, you know, like, man, I was Leapfrog, I could like leap hella high, I'm a frog, you know, frog ass abilities, but fucking spider, or like,
I got my long tongue ass,
yeah, I got
shit.
My tongue, I can change my gender. What other frog things are they? No,
I can breathe with dinosaurs,
yeah
hatch the eggs out my back. Is it out
I
the
think
back?
They yeah I think the women put it on the
it's
men
fucked up.
And then the men hatch them, but they're all like recanting stories of like, it's like, oh man, I would have gotten like, you know, but someone stopped me, you know. It's like, we don't name who, but just kind of like a like nudge like,
I didn't see him in time,
yeah.
All I heard was thwip, and then I was covered in some kind of jism or something.
Yeah, Leapfrog was like, I tried to jump at him, but then he got away. And Kangaroo's like, yeah, I tried to jump at him, and he got away. And then Typeface is like, yeah, I tried to write the word jump at him, but he got away. And like, it's like, well, yeah, things. <I'm just
kidding. laughs> I tried to jump exclamation point at him.
At him, but he got away.
He jumped
but,
away like some kind of jumping spider.
Yeah, like some,
like
I fucking hate spiders.
Some kind of insect, like a cricket.
Like a araña? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll say spider in Spanish.
They just every time
it's like
they
an
say
Aranios.
That's why that way it links to Madame Web.
Yeah. This is going to be tied in with all of these are all tied together. But yeah, so you know, over time we see Dr. Dodson working with, like, you know, Leapfrog, which is the Eugene, who's the son of the original Leapfrog, and his, you know, she's working with him on the hatred of his like dad, you know, as he was like the OG and then like legacy and kind of figuring out where his place is. And then she's, you know, she's working with the Kangaroo, who's like very angry, PTSD from like killing a fighter while doing a boxing match, you know. So it's like different like area. Like sometimes, you know, we see individual counseling sessions. Typeface, she's working with him for like bipolar disorder, just, you know, some straightforward things. You know, we'll see scenes where the characters, you know, just kind of get the characters like Leapfrog's maybe more of like a timid guy. Kangaroo's like the big brutish, like, oh, like everything makes me mad. They're like fights breaks out or something. Like in like
Australian,
yeah, he's Australian.
Or actually, no, I don't think he is. Funny enough, in the comic books, he's not. I think he's a white guy white guy. I think he's American in Australia, dressed as a kangaroo, which might be better.
Okay, might be better.
I guess. Boy, good eye, mate.
Yeah, he's a bad
puts on a fake. He uses a fake Australian accent whenever he's in costume.
Dr. Dodson's working with him, and she's like, "You're not Australian.
You're
stop.
You're
it.
Not Australian."
I swear, I am,
mate.
Shrimp on the Barbie.
Damn it, I was just about to say, go toss a shrimp on the Barbie.
He does, he does the thing where he's like, hold on, I'm losing it. I'm losing what is it? Razor blade? Anyways, as I was saying. Yeah, no, over time, Doctor, you know, she's working with them in the groups, and we see them, like, interacting between different groups, and with the kangaroo, she breaks, like, his hard exterior, and they start relating. She's like, oh, I'm actually, like, a kickboxer as well, you know, and they like, do some sparring together.
She beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe
she breaks his kangaroo shell.
Yeah, his hard kangaroo shell. And then there's one scene, maybe she's with, I think, Leapfrog, and she's like, you know, like, you know, Eugene's talent, or she's like, you know, like, what about your dad and all this, like, that's crazy or whatever, but, you know, this reminds me of a Lewis Carroll poem where he once wrote, when one is responsible, then does the power come to them, you know, so it's like a little nod to the...
Smart, we all have to put that in way, shape, or form, in great both power, great responsibility, just, like, twist it around, all shit.
Oh my god, both of mine. Wait, say it again? Honestly.
It's hers is what is it? When one is responsible, then does the power come? Does the power arrive so to them?
Stupid.
So she, yeah. You know, she's
my version in the Goblin movie will just be someone like Green Goblin at one point, just literally just going like, responsibility, power, or like that's power. It.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty good too. That's like seems. Like accurate.
Sorry, my ideas are too good.
Yeah. Do you want to go get with yours or?
My God.
You want to add your responsibility power line?
Oh,
for Jackpot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. With. No. I can't. That's it. I'll think of something.
Yours will be like, sometimes when you feel powerless, you just gotta be a little irresponsible.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, reverse. God, that sucks.
That's a good switch.
Oh, good, but that's so stupid. Oh, my God. Okay, I guess that, yeah. Because it seems like something out of touch... exec would be like, oh, we need some like, sexy hot girl shit.
Yeah, would this be a girl power moment?
It'd be Felicia saying it to Jackpot because she's like, you know,
it'd be both of them. That's their catchphrase.
Gotcha.
That's like, their best friend.
One of them comes in like and is like, half. Like puts their hand out and they're like, sometimes when you feel powerless, and then the other one's like, grabs her like with the superhero handshake with the forearms. I gotta get a little irresponsible.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Terrible, perfect cut print.
So like I say, you know, you just see over time, you see Dr. Dodson working with the three of them, and at the end of the movie, we see them like the group all sitting when an orderly arrives and apologizes that the doctor can't make it like to the session. So the others like they get up, and then he asks to talk to Dodson. And then that's when we find out that she's actually being released soon for good progress. And it turns out she is White Rabbit, the Dr. Lorena Dodson. She was crazy the whole time. And she was also a patient. Yeah. That's my...
Nice.
So the movie's about the four of them? Or is it really mostly about her?
It's called White Rabbit, but yeah, it's got like all four. It's like the Madam Web. It had four spider or three spider women. And
okay.
It's like White Rabbit.
What is your Spider-Man tease?
Some guy took me down and then also the responsibility line.
True.
Anyone hate spiders?
The other one I came up with, I'll just say really, really quick, because it's just, I want to read the line that I wrote for the responsibility part. The other one was The Answer, the villain, The Answer, whose power...
Oh, I don't even know that.
He's a hitman for Wilson Fisk, who arrived around the invention of Black Cat, and he got the power actually before Black Cat, I think, or like the machine that gave her luck powers, Wilson Fisk tested on in the comics. On him, and his power is to have whatever power necessary for a given situation, hence why he's called The Answer. So he's like, oh,
that's
I got
pretty
the answer.
Dope. I do like that.
He looks like a cooler like design than he actually is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were gonna say he looks like a cooler Black Cat,
yeah.
I'm like, how do you do it? Sexy from sexy to cool,
but as a guy. No, but the line in there would have been, if one has power of responsibility, then they are responsible for their power. That was like all I wanted to read for that one. But it's like a basic, like, typical, like, he's a villain and, you know, fights Kingpin and, yeah.
When you embrace your responsibilities, then you will find power.
Yeah.
What do they say in Amazing Spider-Man 2? It's like, if you have the power to do something and it's in your power, then you you have the right to do that thing.
Yeah, no matter how much you do it. Yeah.
It's like a fucking 3-sentence line. Like,
yeah. Jesus Christ. If only there was a way to shorten this.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, if only there was a way to shorten that line. I love that everybody, like, sees the most famous line in Spider-Man, and they go, I think I can do this better. You know, the one line that is remembered by every single one of his fans. No, I think, guys, step back. I've got this.
Yeah, I got this.
Which, hey, you know what? Surf Dracula, that line in Spider-Man No Way Home, that whole time you're expecting it to be said. And then once Aunt May dies, she's like, you remember that with great power comes great responsibility. But you thought that was going to happen in the first movie, but it didn't. But anyways, so all of this, well done, well done. Round of applause for everybody.
Celebratory cocaine.
Some of us did too great. Nate, I'm sorry.
Sorry, too much cocaine.
Bring you down to our level.
Too much good
Not
cocaine.
Enough, I would say. Not enough cocaine.
Not enough, yeah. I wasn't strung out enough.
But now I'm actually thinking, it's got me thinking of, like, because there are good characters, and there are good Spider-Man universe characters that do have stories worth telling. You know, even if it's a movie with, like, if it's about Spider-Man and Kraven rather than just Spider-Man, you know what I mean? Like, give equal parts, for example, like Kraven the Hunter. That's not that would be a good movie, and that would be a better way to do a Kraven movie, but they're not going to do it. Instead, they're just going to make some slocky shit. Yeah. But you know, with that being said, you know, that's an example right there. Kraven, that would be a good movie on its own. You know, Kraven's Last Hunt, if it had Spider-Man in it, if it was faithful. But my personal favorite would be the Superior Foes of Spider-Man. Dala, I think I've tried to pitch this one to you, or I've told you about this one because this is one of my favorites. Nate, have you heard of Superior Foes?
No, I'm Googling it right now.
Okay. So it's they're calling themselves the Sinister Six. There are only 5 people on the team.
Beautiful.
They're all Z-listers. They're all Z and even lower.
Okay.
They're calling themselves the Sinister Six so that they have a better rep, and they're trying to pull off a big score. There's only 5 of them. One of them argues, like, why do we call ourselves, you know, the Six if there's only 5? And the leader, who's a piece of shit named Boomerang, he's like,
shocker.
He's like, oh, he's like, we just, you know, we leave people guessing who the sixth member is. And we let people guess, oh my God, who's the sixth member? Is it Doctor Doom? Is it Galactus? Is it Magneto? Like, and where is he? And, you know, all the other members are like, nobody's going to think that Doctor Doom is on our fucking team. So it's these low-level, this low-level group of criminals that are led by Boomerang. And Boomerang, I believe, you know, it's been a while since I've read the story. But he's an unreliable narrator, constantly lying to the audience and to the people around him.
Nice.
It's about him figuring out a big score, which would be stealing a portrait of Dr. Doom. And, like, the portrait, it's priceless, you know, it's got his face on it.
Right.
And so they're going to try to do this, but they're going to do it from, like, with, like, super shitty resources. It's like Ocean's 11, but if they were all bad at doing their part, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
It is so fucking funny. I remember at the time comparing it to, like, It's Always Sunny. Like, a lot of the cat.
The heist episode?
The peak of it, of It's Always Sunny, I feel, was coming out around that time. And so, like, it reminded me so much of, like, the kind of tone.
Humor.
It's so good. It's so good. Punisher cameos. There's a... Punisher is, like, always one step behind the group of, you know, trying to catch them. And at one point, you know, spoilers, he catches up to the Shocker. You know, he's had the shit beat out of him. He's constantly lied to. And he's just over it. And he completely obliterates, like, the Punisher and sends him fucking flying away.
Nice.
Damn, it's
nice.
Such a good story. It's so fun. It's so fun.
That's
sick.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that one.
I don't think Spider-Man... he doesn't show up at all. He doesn't show up at all.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, until the very end. The whole time... do you guys care about spoilers?
No. I'm imagining he's just been watching them and not interfering because they're not that much of a threat.
Yeah, or something. Or he just comes and beats them up in one fell swoop or something.
Well, they wouldn't be that much of a threat, actually. So yeah, that's probably the truth. I gotta reread it. But at the beginning, the whole context of the story is that he's in a bar talking to someone and telling them the story about this big heist that they just pulled off, and that's the story. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you know, he's all drunk. He's like, "Oh, hey, what'd you say your name again was? Peter?"
Oh,
and it's
my
like you
God.
See the back of him, and yeah. It's what Sony would do.
That is what Sony would do.
Yeah.
yeah. So that's a really good story. I want to read more of the Boomerang character because he's such a piece of shit. He's He's Dennis. He's Dennis from It's So Sunny.
Like, it sounds also that's like it's like basically. It's not like as it's not. It's obviously different motives and different ways they started the story out and why it happened. But like it sounds vaguely like Suicide Squad. Like reminiscent.
Time,
like
yeah. Well, around
it's
that time,
like funny
because
it's
that...
Spider-Man's villains, just like Suicide Squad is villains for the Batman universe, the two major villains matter universes or like comics.
Oh, and then I think even recently in comics, so that came out in like 2014, actually. Mm-hmm. And then I think around like 2018 in one of the Spider-Man runs, Boomerang is Peter Parker's roommate. So there's like
I think the same
I
writer.
I
want to
read that actually.
I think it's the same writer.
Chip Zdarsky?
Is it Chip? I thought it was Nick Spencer. I think he did.
Oh, it might be Spencer.
I think that's the Spencer.
It might be Spencer,
Spider-Man.
Which is why
he
brought back Boomerang. Yeah. So I recommend it. You know, I think that would be that's something
that's
worth
that'd be a good one, yeah.
Having it, yeah.
Honestly, that was so when I was thinking about movies that they should do, it was It was just a Suicide Squad. I was thinking
Suicide Squad movie
of Spider-Man villains. So I didn't know that comic existed. And so actually, but like
good.
I wanted it to have the tone of the Suicide Squad. So I feel like the Sinister Six are like too powerful and actually competent to actually have like the Suicide Squad tone.
Yeah.
Unless you're sending them up against something even crazier.
Yeah.
So it's like, it could be the actual Sinister Six, but they would have to be going up against like a global level threat that they like are not prepared for. And but
that's why the Sinister Six movie that they wanted to make, it was going to be them teaming up with Spider-Man to fight dinosaurs on like a savage land or some shit like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to say. Yeah, but like meanwhile, instead it's like I feel like it would be easier to just have it be like, or even just like it's a Sinister Six movie because like one like D-list Spider-Man villain like it's an insane power up somehow. I was just gonna say he basically becomes because he's always been a D-lister, he doesn't know what to do with the fact that he's actually incredibly powerful now. So it's like I don't know. How Spot comes off in
the new Across
the Spider-Verse movies. Where he seems goofy, but in reality he's doing something that's gonna end all reality.
Mm-hmm.
And like he like doesn't really understand.
Like out of ignorance almost.
Yeah.
I was just like, you know, it's funny is
fucking
nice. You know, I just remembered that the Nice. The the Deadly Foe, or was it Superior Foes of Spider-Man, is actually like a sequel to, like, there's two others, but they're like from the 90s that are like way more serious. But I remember it because I remember when you were talking about dinosaurs, it reminded me of Stegron, the fucking Stegosaurus villain.
Yeah.
And he's in...
What a product of its time.
Yeesh, yeah. He's in like the Deadly Foes of Yeah.
He's the... Then that's... We combine the idea they had where they're fighting dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's it's the Sinister Six get thrown on an island that's like run by Stegron.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I've been mutating people into dinosaurs. Yeah,
with Sauron there.
Which is funny. There's actually a line of dialogue. Yeah. Oh, it's Sauron. It's not Stegron.
Yeah.
Where Spider-Man's yelling at Sauron. He's like... You have the power to cure cancer, but you're turning people into dinosaurs. Why? Mm. And he's like, because I want to turn people into dinosaurs.
Fucking sick as shit.
That's so fucking cool.
I was actually have cancer, one that...
But then people wouldn't be dinosaurs.
Yeah, come here. I actually have one that, there's like a spin-off Spider-Man story from like the 2000s. And I think this would be better as like a show, because the story is like an anthology, so each issue is written, drawn by different creators, it's called Spider-Man's Tangled Web, and each story is just like a one-off, or like maybe like a two-part or something, but it's like, here's a story, like, so for example, there's one story where it's like all the villains, Spider-Man villains, at the bar with no name, kind of just talking about how they almost all took out Spider-Man, and then it turns out Spider-Man, it's literally that Batman animated series episode, but just as a comic.
Which the Superior Foes is that too, because it's at the bar with no name and
gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like an issue like that. Then there's like Flowers of Algernon, but with Rhino is like an issue, which is like a it's a pretty fun one.
Right.
Actually, I think Leapfrog Jr., like the son. I think that's actually the issue where there's one issue where he actually. I think that's the first time that the son takes over the mantle. And, you know, for him, it's, like, following him and him dealing with, like, his dad, you know, being made fun of at school because his dad's fucking Leapfrog out of all the villains, you know, not even a cool villain. and then, like, one of the best ones, it almost felt like a fucking Sopranos, like, the way it was written and drawn. I think it was written by Azzarello and drawn by Rizzo, Edward Rizzo, who did 100 Bullets with him. But it's Severance Package, and in that story, I think it's, like, a one- or two-parter, but... Someone that works for Kingpin, like, he's like, he works under him. He's like, but he's like a mob boss under Kingpin, or maybe like not a mob boss, but he like enforces some part of the business. And that part of the business, something happens, and he's like, fuck. So the whole issue is just him kind of going to his wife, like, hey, like, we're gonna have, you know, like, let's have a good time, and like, you know, he's spending time with his son, getting things in order. And then Kingpin, like, the final panel, I guess, spoilers, is. He goes to Kingpin's office, and it's all like black and white, kind of like it's like noir style. And he's just like, all right, Kingpin, I'm ready. And Kingpin just like snaps his neck for like the mess up. And it's just like one of those like, goddamn. It's like,
oh, one of those like, movies where one of the storylines that just ends with like,
just like, getting... it's like, yeah, he's like, it's inevitable. It's imminent. Like it's really good. And like drawn. Yeah. So there's like stories like that, and there's some that are goofier. Like one is drawn by Darren Cook, which is like a Valentine's or a Christmas one, and it's just everyone waiting for Peter Parker to come to like the cafe to kind of for Christmas, or I think I forget which season, but it's like one of them. So it's like it's kind of like the people around him and their stories. I think it'd be better as like a show maybe, but yeah, Sony ever wants to break into shows. I'm down.
Well, that's the thing, you know, that actually reminded me of a new spinoff, which I completely forgot about, and I would love to talk about, because this could actually be a hit, hopefully, Spider-Noir.
Oh,
the
true.
The Spider-Man spinoff, that's a TV show on Amazon, Nicolas Cage.
I forget that this is a show.
Yeah, yeah, which is Nick Cage's first series that he's done. And
is it already out?
Spider-Man.
No,
it's being filmed right now. You know, I don't want to just be hopeful because the costumes are like one-to-one, because that's how it was for Madame Web. But, I hope it's a good story. You know, it'll have Nick Cage in it. So
yeah,
it'll be fun. I think
I'm just thinking more about Madame Web again now and how just like the actual like filmmaking errors and like the dubbing errors and things like that, and like how literally it was like technically done, like, yeah, must have looked like it was done by film students. And like,
I love that. Oh my god, I love that so much.
It's crazy.
Nice.
That really is one of my, god, it's got to be one of the best movies of all, like one of the best so bad it's good movies. Like,
oh yeah,
I just have such good fond memories with Madame Web.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think the experience that we had particularly really like sold it for,
oh yeah,
for me as like one of the best. Also, it is just really,
and then that guy that got mad at me right after I posted spoilers for the movie.
For Madame Web.
Should check in, see if he's still mad. Christ. See if he's still like,
spoiler alert, it's Big Surf Dracula moment, but spoiler alert, at the end, she becomes Madame Web.
Oh my gosh. But not until the end.
Oh my god. Can you imagine if Captain America got his shield at the end of the movie? That's what these Sony movies are like. That's, you know what I mean?
They should do every Marvel movie but that, like that. So it's like Spider-Man becomes Spider-Man at the end of, you know.
I don't have my webs. Yeah, he gets his webs at the end of the movie. Yeah.
Oh my god, Spider-Man, but he's in the early like homemade costume for the entire movie. It doesn't actually make his suit until the very end.
Well, I was like, Avengers don't assemble until the end, like the last 10 minutes, and they fight whatever Loki, I guess, in the first one. Like, they don't form until, like, it's just four different stories going on until, well, now they're
or
together.
Or better yet, it's just one person's story the whole movie.
Yeah. And then right at the end,
it's just Captain America the whole time. And right at the end, he like just like picks up a phone. And he's like, I'm going to need your guys' help.
Not even that. It's Nick Fury. It's Nick Fury. It's an Avengers movie, quote unquote. But it's all Nick Fury just getting ready.
Oh, yeah. He's the one calling
making
people,
phone calls.
Making like plane arrangements for people.
Hawkeye, we need you to go pick up Spider-Man.
We're flying you guys economic. We really don't have the budget for anything higher. I'm sorry.
Remember when Hawkeye was thrown into the Thor movie?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, wait, what the fuck? Hawkeye's
Who's
in this?
Who's that guy?
In this movie, he's just some dude with a bow? Like,
well, I remember in Thor, he's like... there's a scene where he reaches for the sniper and then he's like, no, I'm going to reach for the bow. His whole thing has always been a bow. It's did I forget what my thing was? Oh, let me actually get the thing that...
Because he never uses a gun after that. The implication is that like he's supposed to grab the sniper rifle, but he's like, he Miles Morales is it, and he's like, I'm gonna do my own thing, and grabs his bow.
It's
like, instead.
Has it always been his thing? Yeah, it would be funny if
I'm
gonna
do my own thing, actually. The thing that I always do
in Avengers, like Endgame or something, he just pulls out a gun. He's like, fuck arrows, damn, why didn't I been doing this the whole time? Blam, 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 blam.
So that's the real question. So Hawkeye's like, his whole thing is he's super accurate, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that would work really well with a gun. His arrows have special arrowheads. He can't have special bullets. Yeah. He can't just make those exact things just in bullets instead, and then
just be better
at everything he does.
It's funny because when I think in the Dark Avengers, when he was replaced by Bullseye, who's got accuracy, and he's used fucking cards, peanuts to kill old ladies in planes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like.
I think there is a Hawkeye moment, which is pretty sick. I think he's captured and he's getting tortured, and like they see him he's bound to a chair, right?
Yeah.
And they see him fucking with his like nails, and like it turns out he starts ripping his nails off, and he like flicks them into their mouths, and they start choking.
That's so
pretty gnarly.
Like, that's crazy. He rips his own nails off. God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, that's what I would like to see. I would like to see just a Hawkeye movie where he discovers using a gun instead.
And it's just like John Wick.
It's him using the bow and losing to a villain over and over again. And at the end of the movie, he just shoots the guy, and he's like, "Wow, that was a lot easier." Credits.
I'm now gunman or gun.
I'm now hawk
gun eye.
Gun hawk.
Gun eye. Bullseye. So the panel right here is Hawkeye's strapped in a chair, right? Mm-hmm. And all you see are like close-ups of his hands doing like this, right? And then a doctor walks in and he's like, what the hell's going on here? And Hawkeye just says, shouldn't have left my fingernails in.
pretty fucking gnarly, dude.
We didn't think to take them out.
Well,
I mean, it does.
Well, you didn't think of taking out.
does heavily lean on the fact that he's like a secret agent, like deep state operative, essentially, and like,
yeah,
he's like, torture's nothing to me.
What if he was like, what if he was like pissing into everyone's mouth and stuff?
Yeah,
he's like, should have let me piss earlier.
He like poops like a log and like knocks.
I imagine
out.
Does he have super accurate spit? So like if someone's like in his face interrogating him, he can like perfectly spit directly into their eye every single time.
I think he might do that with his tooth actually in the Punisher Max series too.
Yeah.
Enough. He bites his tooth off and like uses it to kill someone too. Or like shoot at someone. It's fucking that run of Punisher is really great.
We need more badass Hawkeye like that.
Well, no, that was Bullseye for that.
Yeah, are you saying instead we got Hawkeye? Hawkeye, all we get is like movies about him getting brainwashed by Loki and then having to get bonked in the head over and over again until he comes to his sentence.
And become crushed by a snowplow or something.
Yeah.
Rips penis off, uses it as club. Shouldn't have left me my penis.
It's a club. It's not even a bullseye thing anymore.
Rips out individual
pews. It's not a projectile. It's just like
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I guess that's not really a accuracy thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's accurate in like aim where how to swing it, but yeah.
I guess you're right. I should probably get to a hospital and plug this up. Speaking of, guys, do you have any plugs?
Yeah.
I'll start off. I'm Dadala.art.
Hawkeye's penis.
You can find my penis on... Just kidding. Shouldn't have left it on.
That's when we get the OnlyFans going, okay? That's
yeah.
No dumb idea OnlyFans.
But yeah, you shouldn't have left me with the Instagram. It's at Dadala.art on Instagram if you want to see... dumb little arts and little things and all that. So yeah,
if you want to find me with great gym leader cubs, comes a lot of Nate. gym leader Nate on everything. Yeah,
that's a good handle, honestly.
It's true. No one has it.
True.
And if you want to see Dala's penis, follow me at Gibbledang.
I post a picture of that every month on the first.
Every morning. Every 6 hours. All right. Let's give a shout out to Dala's penis first and foremost.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I guess Hawkeye?
Let's plug
Hawkeye, too.
Shout out to Hypno Hustler. Hypno Hustler.
Disco Dazzler.
Yeah, Disco
Dazzler. Woo. Shout out to all of the goblins.
Yeah, all
the goblins.
All of the goblins.
Goblins and
Nuts. Who else? Shout out to
Jackpot. Shout out to Jackpot. Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Jackpot. Shout out The Answer.
Yeah, ooh,
The Question. Shout out DC's The Question.
They should make a like, Answer versus Spider-Man The Question movie.
Ooh, shout out to interrupting each other.
Yeah.
Yep. Shouting out. Yeah. Shout out to shouting.
Thank you for listening to No Dumb Idea.